Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and down, the pass is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. No, I'm trying to get Debo as we get started here. Do you have the What We Learned sound?
Yeah.
Play What We Learned.
Oh, God. What'd I say?
What We Learned off the top.
What we
Give me a second.
Give him a second. We'll get it.
What We Learned.
What We Learned before in the pre-show pod.
Yeah.
We learned that Raja Bell made 22 of 25 free throws the other day.
Three-pointers.
Yeah, yes, free throws are easy. I can do that. Three-pointers to show up your kids' team. Like,
yes.
They're challenging you, and you go, what's up?
Yeah.
I learned that Hannah is still doing two-a-days. Super impressive.
They're so impressive.
And I learned that Raja and Steve Nash were in a bed with Sarah McLachlan.
That was for your ears only, bro.
All right, well, now it's out there.
Can I give backstory
and
on
you
that?
Have like, to. You must
no,
give
dude,
backstory.
Steve, stop. I can't hang.
You've got to give
a
backstory.
We were, Steve had a charity event in Vancouver, and he's good friends with Sarah and her husband. And it was her husband's birthday right around the thing. And so we were like, it was like a punking type of a video. You know what I mean? And he just asked me to be a part because I was kind of there. And it was kind of sent to her husband like as if they filmed it and it wasn't staged. And he was supposed to freak out, but I think, you know, he fixed it.
And you were in the arms of an angel?
We were in the arms of an angel, yeah. Super cool people, though. Like, those aren't people I normally rub elbows with. That's Steve's crowd.
Right.
But super cool.
Awesome. We're going to have Steve
what
Nash
we learned.
On. Yeah, see that? We're going to have Steve on Friday's show, so we look forward to that. Get some story time.
Woo-hoo.
Today we got Dan Orlovsky joining us in a little bit to break down the quarterbacks in this year's draft. He's doing a great job doing that, doing some broadcasting. But let's get to some NBA, because we are in the full-fledged NBA playoff season, and as fun as the Heat were with the Sixers for one game, they really had no chance in this series. The Sixers closed them out 104-91. The game was pretty competitive. It was tied at halftime, but it was just a better team to watch this
time around. I don't know if I thought, like, I really just was, like, clinging onto this, really hoping that he could do it, and I kind of knew that the Sixers were going to take it.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I wasn't as, like, hyped for this game.
Right.
I don't know.
I felt like that we were losing hope as Raja, Heat fans.
I was talking about this earlier. Like, for a game or for a team like Miami, when they're playing against the 76ers and they don't, like, their odds of making it past that round, let alone to the second round, when you get to, like, the 3-1, like, last night.
Get it over
do
with.
You, right. Are you just,
get
like, anxious
with.
You
for
came
vacation?
Back from 3-1.
Yeah, but we were a better team. No, in your mind,
like,
you're a competitor. You don't do that.
1%, though, that's like, oh, I could just, like, sleep a lot tomorrow.
So, no, but that's a weird thing, right? Because I think it's like you come out as a competitor and you never want to lay down. So you go through a half a basketball. And I watched, like, that Heat were in it. So I don't think there was ever a point, probably until somewhere in that fourth quarter, where they were like, let's just let it go. But if you know, like, I played 1 year when I was with the Jazz, and we played, like, we squeaked into the playoffs as an A seed, and we pulled the Spurs, who, like, were clearly, like, light years ahead of where we were as a team. Like, why prolong the inevitable? Like, I don't want to win a game or two in the series because we're not beating them. But in a competitive series, and I missed on this one. I thought that the Heat actually had a chance to stretch it to seven.
And, yeah, I did too.
You know, I discounted how important space was, which is weird because I was a space guy. Like, when you have the amount of shooters that Philly has, and then you have those two electrifying, you know, playmakers in Embiid and Ben Simmons. It's really hard to guard that. And then you match that with a really, really tough, physical, run you off your shot defense, and you can accomplish a lot of things. And I think, you know, obviously I made my case for jumping on the bandwagon a few days ago, but they're a scary team in the East and in the NBA right now.
They're really scary. The one thing that might have been most entertaining was watch Meek Mill get to the game. Like, I mean, the owner actually sent a helicopter to prison to get him there in time for the tip.
That's fantastic.
Which is pretty insane.
I was really hoping that the Heat would just, like, kill them in this game, and then people would want to, like, lock Meek Mill
How'd
back
that
up.
Go?
Right.
Like, if he was the curse all along.
So the Sixers impressed everybody. I think they kind of turned everybody's head. D. Wade actually talked about it after the game, about how impressive this young group is.
You know, those guys grew up in this series. This is their first playoff. I think they grew up and they learned some things from us and the way we pushed them. And it's just, you know, congratulating them, you know. And, you know, you want to see nothing but good things for those guys. These are the future of the NBA. And, you know, the NBA is in great hands with Ben and Joel and and those kind of individuals. So, just talking to him about those things.
Yeah, it's really cool that D-Wade doesn't have a level of salt in the post game. Like, I think that's really professional. My question for the Sixers.
I think that speaks volumes to how much they really knew they didn't have a chance.
They were outmatched. He knew that.
It's easier when you get bounced 4-1 than it is if you were tied up and it was game 7.
Correct.
You know, it's easy to send them off.
The Sixers have been reaching out all year for their alumni, like, association, and, like, they've been reaching out all year, and I've never really responded. I've just kind of been like,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, is it too late, Sixers? Can I get in on the alumni? No. I'm out?
No.
I'm out.
No.
No, get in.
It's
I'm
not
in?
Too
get
late.
In. No.
Absolutely.
I
speak on behalf. We welcome you. We welcome you back.
Sixers alumni.
People have been saying we want Raja Bell to ring the bell. Like, me.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, you know what? I stay away from that. You guys asked me about, like, I don't go back to the Suns. It's not like a Sixers thing. It's like, I feel kind of like my NBA time was past and now I'm on to something different. So, like, I watch from afar. I am cheering for him, though, bro. Like,
I think that's interesting, though, because the further I get away, the more I'm like, yeah, I should probably go back and take my kids to see where I played. Like, take them to Giant Stadium to go somewhere. But I told you guys this before on the podcast. The only team that really reaches out to me is the Falcons. And that was, like, awful when I was there. Like, it was the worst teams I was on.
So strange.
And I only played there 2 years. It was like, well, I don't want to go back there. But maybe one day I will go back. All right. Do you think D-Wade's done?
No, I think he plays another year.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think so, too. I think he's got something left in him, but he's very much – he's realizing he's becoming a role player.
He's been a role player in my mind. I mean, here's the question for – and I'm probably off topic a little bit, but I think it's interesting. It's like, what the heck did the Heat do? What do they do now? That roster, like, they spent a lot of money on a bunch of guys that aren't
– Get Kawhi and LeBron.
Did they get rid of Whiteside?
That was the worst – I'm a Pat Riley fan. I'm a Heat fan, despite the fact I never got to play at home. All right, I'm over that. But no, I mean, that was a bad signing at the time. I get that you don't want to give him up for nothing. Like, but I don't subscribe to a school of thought that someone else is going to pay him, and I don't want to look if he's not worth that money. Like, and maybe that's why I'm not an NBA GM. I'm not paying him that money, and there's a reason why the dude was in Lebanon and in the D League and in the China and in there's a reason. You think that that goes away because you got him in the Heat culture? Mm-hmm. That doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, he's been a problem the whole time he's been there, and I don't think it's going away either. I think they have to figure out something, but they've got him. They're stuck with him now.
And they screwed themselves mismanaging that whole situation. If you know you have something like that, and it's as volatile as he is, and you're going to invest in it, then you've also made the investment that you're going to treat it with baby, you know, kid gloves to some degree. You're going to make sure that it works for you. You don't invest that kind of money and time and then turn around and just, you know, devalue the heck out of it like they have. I don't even know if you could trade him right now.
So the other matchup in the East, the Celtics, they take a 3-2 advantage over the Bucks. They won 92-87. I tell you, I have been a little bit disappointed by Giannis in this one, that he could not carry this. And maybe they still win. They won 2 at home. Like, they got it back to even. But I'm surprised that they're struggling still with the Celtics team that's young and talented, but they're without their superstars who have been hurt. And I'm kind of waiting for Giannis to step up and take that next step.
I think he's fully capable, but I think you'll continue to wait. And this is going to be like a down-to-the-wire series. It's very physical. Last night they were basically playing rugby on a basketball court, low scoring. Like, all of that is going to speak to the way the Celtics want to play in this series, minus their offensive weapons. They want to grind you out possession by possession. The problem with Milwaukee when I watch them is they expect Giannis to do too much. Giannis doesn't have a jump shot yet. So anytime
can he develop that?
Yeah, sure.
He will.
Sure. I mean, and his free throw line jump shot, his pull up, his one leg step back, all of that is kind of there. It's growing. And he'll be able to proficiently knock down jump shots, but it's not there yet. And they expect this guy who's 6'11 to do all the creating on his own. He's got nobody else around who creates shots for him, whether it be in the mid post or, you know, driving kick or anything. And so, you know, it's kind of like I say with LeBron, like, sometimes guys that are that good, like, you default because you know if you give them the ball, they'll get something done. But Giannis isn't 15 years in and 33 years old and seen and done everything. You need to help him. He's still a young player. You need to get him some easy buckets. He's 6'11". He's virtually unstoppable around the rim. Get him some buckets around the basket with your sets. The point guard position and the guard position in general there is more of a scoring type of position for them. He needs to play with someone who's more of a set-the-table kind of guy to help him get some easy buckets. It's not fair to the kid without a jump shot to expect him to do all the work on his own, off the bounce, creating shots for himself and others. That's why you see him struggle. They stymied him last night. He got 10 shots up. Mm-hmm. They had 5 sets of eyes defensively looking at him at all times. When you don't have a jump shot and you have to get to the rim, I mean, that becomes almost impossible. It's when you just start giving the ball up, and they need him. They need him to shoot the ball 16, 17 plus times a game for them to have a chance. But you got to put him in position to do that.
So in the playoffs, he's actually taken 2.5 less shots per game in the playoffs than he did in the regular season. And you, so you would credit that to the Celtics defense. Like, that's Brad Stevens coming up with that game plan.
Yeah, because
I almost feel like if, like, Ty Lue called out LeBron, like, I almost feel like Giannis has to kind of take this team and put it on his back. But maybe it's, maybe he's not there yet.
Well, I don't. First of all, I don't think he's there yet. I don't think his skill set is as well-rounded as LeBron's is. Like, you see LeBron making a lot of jumpers now. He's got mid-post work now. LeBron has rounded out his game. It's incredible to say that when he's the best player on the planet for, like, the last two decades. Right. But he has gotten better. And so, when you get in a seven-game series, I know everything you're going to do. During the course of a regular season, when I play you, just from a time constraint perspective, like, I don't have time to really dig into your offense. I might, if I'm the coach, I might show you guys four plays that the team we're playing tonight is going to run against us, because that's basically as much as you're going to retain in one night and all we can prepare for. But in a seven-game series, I will give you DVDs of every person you're playing. Mm-hmm. So you know all their tendencies, you know all their habits, you know all their spots. I will then give you another DVD of every single set they run, right? So you know all of those inside out. And we will strategize and game plan accordingly from night to night. So it's not about catching somebody by surprise with your offense, right? Like it might in a regular season. I know everything you do. And that's why you can see them lock in on Giannis, where he wants to get it, where he likes to shoot it from. And it becomes exponentially harder to score in the playoffs. It's why you have to have someone else out there creating, because you can't account for creativity. You can account for a set. But if you got a guard that can create and then just slip it to Giannis as he gets to the basket, you can't account for that draw on the help side and an easy dunk. They need that a little bit.
All right, out west, the Warriors finally finished off the Spurs 99-91. They take care of business after having to slip up in the third game. I don't think I learned anything new about the Warriors at all.
Yeah,
like, I still feel like I'm kind of in the same boat. I need to see what Steph looks like when he comes back. He's supposed to be reevaluated. That, to me, is the most critical part of their team. Because if he's not 100%, I have doubts whether they can get by Houston.
Sure.
If he's 100%, I would go with the Warriors. Like, it comes down to how does he look? How much time does he have to get acclimated? Does he have a whole series? Can he come back as quickly as the first as game?
Oh,
one,
so you're not
two?
Are you? You're not giving the Pelicans any look?
Oh, without Steph, I probably would consider it
with
more.
Or without.
Well, you're saying
I think that's going to be a series.
Yeah,
I do. I think it's going to be. I think Holiday and Rondo are big, strong, athletic, like, nasty type of guards. And you need that in a series like that.
You
and
think then, even with Steph?
Even with Steph. I don't say that. I don't know
well,
that
Steph,
they beat
when
them.
He comes back, too, is he can't just go. Like, you can't just put him back and he's full speed. He's ready to go. There's going to be an acclimation period, and that could cause issues.
Yeah,
for
maybe a minute restriction. Yeah. Like, you know, there's going to be some chemistry. And so, you know, Anthony Davis is a complete problem offensively. The Warriors don't really have anyone that can play that. And on the flip side of that, I mean, Kevin Durant is a complete mismatch problem for the Pelicans. But the Pelicans are a lot better, I think, than I thought coming into the playoffs, even though I thought they'd beat Portland. When they're hungry, and Rajon Rondo seems to me, I don't know him well enough, but the type of dude that would just be in there, like, needling his teammates every day. Mm-hmm. Like, these MF, you think, like, Golden State, they give us no chance against Golden State. Like, these two, like, I think he's the type of dude that psychologically will have them, like, just, you know, frothing at the mouth to get a chance at Golden State. I think it could be entertaining.
Yeah, it definitely will. I can't wait to watch that series unfold. Tonight, we've got the Pacers, Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this playing out?
I see LeBron James going, like, vintage LeBron and winning tonight. I think it could wind up getting out of hand, actually. I think the Cavs have not played well this series. They played well in bits and pieces. I think you could see them. Role players typically play better at home. It's why we were role players. Like, we play better at home, specifically in the playoffs. And so I think you'll see him get a supporting cast effort tonight. Don't know that anybody's going to go off for 30. I think Kevin Love's going to play better.
He has to.
Yeah, I do. I believe it. Because to the point I think you're going to make, like, if he doesn't, like, how, like, what type of blame for this season kind of falls on Kevin Love's shoulders? Because LeBron's done LeBron.
Right.
The rest of those guys are, like, they're not all-stars. Mm-hmm. Like, what type of pressure is on Kevin Love for not living up to his end of the bargain if they don't get it done? And he specifically doesn't get it done.
Vegas is on your side.
Yeah.
The Cavs are a 6.5-point favorite. the public money or the dumb money is jumping on the Pacers, so I might actually go to bat with the Cavs. Like
okay,
because it does like it does have like that 6.5 line feels like it's begging you, like Vegas is saying, go ahead and take the Pacers. You think they're going to keep this game close? Go ahead and take them.
Right.
And this does feel like a game where LeBron and the Cavs are sort of going to break out. Now, does that make you feel more confident, or do you have to see what happens going back to Indiana?
Let's see. I said this to you the other day, Dan. Like when you get a chance to beat LeBron and they're vulnerable, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know you do. Yeah. Like and you, I know everybody's going to say, well, Oladipo didn't play great and this and that. I get it. But they still had a chance to win despite whatever happened. You have to take that opportunity to beat him. If you let him slip away, he's too good. He's too good. I've said it from the start. They'll figure out a way to win the series.
Jazz Thunder, they got game five. Your boy Russell Westbrook, he took it personally about Ricky Rubio, but it threw off his complete game. Like, he was so invested in
shutting down. He lost his mind.
He did. Yeah. And you knew he was going to do that. Yeah. And it's like, what is going on? They're down 3-1. Is it over? Is it a wrap?
It's a wrap.
It's done.
It's a wrap.
Your boy Charles Barkley and Shaq, I think, both guaranteed that OKC was going to win this next game.
They may.
Yeah.
It's still a wrap.
Right.
They might go home and win. The Jazz are playing really good basketball right now. They're playing, again, they've got a lot of shooters. Like Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Like, I got to give the dude a lot of props, man. Like, and I didn't hate on him. I just didn't know. I didn't know that he was that tough of a dude. Like, NBA players have skill sets. It's why they're NBA players. Like, he's probably, what, 6'7", 6'8"? And he can shoot the ball and can handle it. He plays pick and roll. He makes good plays. So there's a reason he's an NBA player, but he's a tough dude, man. Like, he ain't backing down from nobody. The Paul George, game one kind of woke him up. And I see, you know, he's taking the challenge as, like, when I watch the Jazz, you've got five guys out there on that court with a chip on their shoulder, mm-hmm. a visible one.
Yeah.
You know, and then the crowd, you could tell the crowd's got a level of chip on their shoulder, like a straight, we've been disrespected mentality. I typically go with teams like that.
Yeah.
The Thunder are kind of like, yeah, we're
we've
nice.
We've been there. We've done that.
We're going to do. We'll figure it out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Jazz are hungry, and I like that.
What about the Wizards-Raptors? This series got real entertaining really fast when they went back to Washington and tied it up 2-2. The backcourt battles, the kind of the matchup that's been determining this one. How do you see this one playing out?
This is a tough one. I think at the end of the day, the Raptors will win. I think because role players play better at home and you have game 7 at home, they'll figure it out. They'll win tonight. They may go to game 6 and lose in Washington, but I think they figure it out in game 7 only if Kyle Lowry doesn't start to, like, look
have
at past.
His issues.
Yes, yeah. Because I think the guards are all going to do what the guards do. Like, the numbers will vary to some degree, but they're going to have good games. Like, if one of those guards, either, you know, Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan or John Wall or Bradley Beal lay an egg, that team will lose.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're all stars. They're going to do what they do. It's what you get around the perimeter, like of the fringes. And I think that 2 out of 3 being at home for Toronto speaks to their role players playing better.
Yeah, I think a lot of it does come down to Kyle Lowry, too. I don't know if you guys saw the game, but when they lost the game in Washington, he, like, bounced, like, straight to the locker. There were, like, 5 seconds left as it was going out. And I don't know if he was ticked or if he was like, what's going on? I don't know what it was. But he is a basket case. Like, it's almost like one of those guys where did you ever have a sports psychologist? Like, did you ever meet with people?
No.
I didn't either.
But we had them on our teams.
Right.
And they always wanted to meet with you.
Right. But I didn't want anybody in my head like that. Let me go out and do my thing.
Bounce.
But with him, I would say, let's get you with a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
Like, let's get you down, get some positive vibes, and get you through this. And I think he would be like, yes, sign me
up. Oh, you think he knows? Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, he's been so refreshingly, I don't know if it's refreshing, but he's been really honest about his mental hurdles. I mean, that's why he was in the arena shooting, you know, last, you know, the couple years he's in there after he struggled shooting putting some hoops up after T-Wolves Rockets series.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
I'm with you. All right, speaking of wrap, let's get to what's happening with Hannah.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
Surprise, surprise, both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are returning.
Strange.
Gronk posted on IG yesterday saying, I met with coach today and informed him I will be back for the 2018 season with the Pats. I've been working out, staying in shape, and feel great. Looking forward to another championship run. Get this. He's also put the hashtag Banza Make Her Dance. Gronk turns 29 next month and will enter his ninth NFL season.
Gronk.
Wait, why are that we was still in his official statement?
It's my bestie.
Was the hashtag Banza Make Her Dance?
Banza Make Her Dance was after he said, looking forward to another championship run.
You know what my favorite thing about Gronk
can
was?
Can you say you're lying? Like, I want to say it so badly for you.
He doesn't what, do that anymore. I'm out. He no, I'm with Gronk now. I'm with Gronk. Especially because I saw a tweet of his. Not a tweet. It was an Instagram thing, okay. Right? Of his. What's his girlfriend's name?
Oh, Camila. Yeah, no. And he commented.
She tagged him.
Yeah.
Like, and the tag happened to be, like, up on her chest. And he said, I can't wait to snuggle right where I'm tagged or something like that. I thought it was.
Do you follow that account, Comments by Celebs?
I don't. It just popped up on my it was fantastic. I ride with you now, Grump.
Oh, my God.
That easy.
That easy, bro. You won me over.
It's a funny relationship. All right. It was Shohei Ohtani versus the champs last night. Blisters that forced an early exit last week didn't affect Ohtani's velocity, hitting 100 miles per hour 8 times. But he did allow 4 earned runs and 5 walks over the course of 5 1/3 innings pitched. The Angels did pull out an 8-7 victory over the Astros.
Bringing that heat. I mean, 8 pitches over 100. I'm glad he's able to come back because I don't want the old school baseball people to step in and say, oh, see, he's got the blister. We're going to have to not let him hit anymore or, you know, make him give up one of the things he's doing. I want to see a two-way player succeed.
What numbers does he have for it to be a success?
I think he just has to be able to main because I mean, when he came out, he was on fire and people were saying, hey, he could be the Cy Young winner and the MVP. Like, I don't think it has to be that. I think I just want to see a guy who can play both and keep being a starter. And I think he's going to exceed those expectations easily.
Elsewhere in the MLB, baseball's top prospect close to losing that prospect status. The Braves set to promote outfielder Ronald Acuna. The 21-year-old struggled in AAA through April, but provides a world of potential for Atlanta.
Boom. Let's do some baseball. I was getting ready to toss it to Raja for some baseball talk with Ron. I'm
Ronald
in the same
Acuna.
Boat. Yeah, he's awesome. All right.
He's fast.
That's a wrap.
All right, last one, guys. Saving the best for last. Game 7, 2 of the best words in sports. Tonight, the Maple Leafs and the Bruins duel in Boston for the chance to take on Tampa in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Who you got, guys? I got the Lightning.
Where's it at?
They're not playing tonight.
Did you just say?
They take on Tampa
Lightning.
In the Eastern.
No, they will take them on.
No,
so it's
I'm
the Bruins and the Maple Leafs.
I'm talking about tonight's game. I'm talking about.
Well, I'm asking them about tonight's game.
Where is the game? I'm sorry.
It's in Boston.
Yeah, I'm taking Boston.
Yeah, okay, me too.
I'm taking Boston.
I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I have been talking about Tampa from the beginning, and you guys are all obsessed with your Knights.
That's right.
So, I joke a lot about the hockey thing, but I got to be in Boston in 1994, 95. Around like that beanpot scene, the Boston University men's hockey team. Like I was really cool with a lot of those dudes, like Chris Drury, Mike Greer, like all of those guys. We'd hang out, and they won a national championship. And so, like I don't watch hockey like that, but hockey games, especially big hockey games in a town like Boston, like it's gonna be banana cakes. It's gonna be off the charts.
It'll be electric for sure. Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's talk about something we do know about, and that's football. Let's get on Dan Orlovsky. Have him join us right now. All right, we'd like to welcome back to the podcast our friend Dan Orlovsky. He's doing a great job, killing it all over. You can see him all over the place, radio interviews, TV. I've seen him all over. He's got his Backup Plan podcast. Make sure you check that out. You can follow him at DanOrlovsky7 on Twitter. He's breaking down some videos on there. Really fascinating stuff. If you like the hardcore breakdowns, it's awesome stuff. Really doing a great job. Good to talk to you again, man.
Good to be here. Appreciate you guys having me on again.
Yeah, sure. I am going to start defending you because we talked about it the last time you had it on there. I didn't realize how bad it was when people give you the hard time out of the back of the end zone. It's ridiculous. Like, people need to move on already. I just thought I had to get that out there. You had a pretty good...
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Before we break down the quarterbacks, kind of talk about the draft a little bit, you had a really good piece with The Athletic where you talked about your draft day experience. And I thought it was really fascinating because a lot of times we think of it as this dream scenario where guys are going to become millionaires. Mm-hmm. But it's not that way for everybody as there's so much indecision. What was your experience like?
Yeah, I mean, going into it, I think every player goes, I'm going to get drafted here. And usually it's higher than we actually do get drafted. Mine was significantly higher. At least my expectation was to be significantly higher draft-wise than I ended up being. I thought I'd go somewhere in the second or third round. And as the day went on, back when I got drafted, a lot like you, it was rounds 1-3 in the first day and then 4-7 on the second day. And you start day one with, you know, I started day one with just this emotional experience of, man, this day is finally here. This day that, you know, was kind of this little seed planted in me by my dad introducing me to football and with a ton of work many years ago. And the day starts and it keeps going and, you know, I'm not getting drafted, but it's not that unique because it was in the second or third round. And I've got a buddy who's a roommate of mine who gets drafted in the third round to the Saints. you know, exterior wise, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But inside, I'm like, wait, what? You know, what? I should have been the first one drafted type experience. And then get to the end of the first day, which is back into the third round. And Seattle had actually called me, checked me for my information. This is your number. We're thinking about drafting you with our next pick. And they end up taking a quarterback out of Georgia, David Green. So that was a kick to the gut. And get to the back end of the third round, last pick, and it's the Broncos take Maurice Claret when he had all his off the field stuff and hadn't played football for a year. And so I just kind of lost it and got ticked off and shattered myself holding against the wall, super mature move. And just really rough night. You know, I had, man, am I ever going to play in the NFL type thing? Woke up the next morning, got a new phone, with a drastically different outlook on the day, you know, and it wasn't the experience that I had thought was going to have, and it wasn't fun, and I was embarrassed and angry and what you name all the emotions. Finally ended up getting drafted, and it was like those previous, I don't know, 36 hours or something were wiped away, and tons of joy and memories made, and that feeling of finally it's here. So I kind of had a roller coaster type 36 hour draft day experience.
I was that story is almost identical to mine, kind of the same thing. Do you have, like, do you blame anybody? Was your agent telling you that? Where were you getting the information that you thought you were going to go higher?
Yeah, I think for myself, you know, I went into my senior season kind of on Mel Kiper's big board, you know, and so I was like, oh, good type thing, and my senior season went good, and I'm still on Kiper's big board. Now, my process of Senior Bowl and Combine didn't go well, but I didn't really factor it in. It was going to have that much of an impact. You know, going into it, my agent and I had some conversations. You know how agents are. My agent was like, well, you don't know. He kind of said, I could see you going round two. I can see you going round six. And I was like, what? That's the whole draft, you know? So I kind of kept my framework. To be honest with you, I mean, again, I was relatively immature. I got drafted in the fifth round, and I remember shortly after that draft, my agent was a guy named David Dunn, Athletes First, based in Newport Beach, California. I fired him immediately within a couple of days, and I signed with Drew Rosenhaus. And one of the guys who works in my agency, Brian Murphy, is an East Coast guy, was in Cape Cod visiting family, and I was in Connecticut. He came and spent the night outside of my house and talked me out of me firing them, because I blamed them for me falling in the draft. So that was kind of a little caveat story. It was like, I blamed my agent for my fall.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, man. At least you got drafted, you and Danny. I didn't even get drafted. I just sit there with my family the whole night and watch everybody else get called. But hey, let me ask you, because all these young quarterbacks are about to experience some sort of draft night, either, you know, elation or disappointment. And so, you know, since we last talked, you know, post combine, you've been watching and kind of analyzing all the tape. Has any of your opinion on these quarterbacks changed or solidified since then?
I think that I think I've definitely been solidified on Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. You know, I just think Darnold's got the chance to, I honestly believe, to be transcendent. I think he can absolutely change Cleveland's franchise if he goes number one. I believe that. He's just got stuff that you can't coach. And he's got that creativity, the Roethlisberger Romo type stuff that there's just not a lot of people like him. Josh Rosen's got, you know, his mind will stand the test of time. In the NFL, if you can think really well, and you've got physical attributes, but if you can think really well, you've got a chance to be a really good player. So I think solidified in those two guys. I've probably cooled a little bit on Baker Mayfield. You know, after spending more time watching tape, I just think Oklahoma manufactured a ton of offense for him. And we just don't, in the NFL game, not that it can't, but we just don't see some of the stuff that they did scheme-wise transfer over to the NFL. And so you've got to ask yourself, can we carry some of those concepts on an NFL offense? And not only can it be successful short term, but long term, can it be part of our foundation? So I've cooled on him just a little bit. I still love him. It's hard. I try to find reasons not to like him. I can't. But I'm still pretty much similar to when we had talked last time, except for those little variables.
All right, let's. We're gonna play a little game called "Like It, Love It, or Hate It" as we talk about these quarterbacks. So you gave us a little bit of glimpse.
All right, I'll start it. Love it.
Nice, nice. All right, there we go. All right, so first one, the Browns. The Browns considering Baker Mayfield at number one overall, as was reported by Adam Schefter yesterday. Like it, love it, or hate it?
I hate it because not because of Baker Mayfield, because Sam Darnold should be the pick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Like it, love it, or hate it. The Browns potentially not taking a quarterback number one overall. I mean, I guess you just answered it, but
if I could say something gravely more damning than hate it, I would, but you're drafting one for a reason. Like you've tried to get cute over years with back into first round Brady Quinn and Johnny Manziel and Brandon Weeden. I mean, it don't make it harder than it is to win the NFL. You know, if they do it, I will drive to Cleveland and put my application for general manager.
I would give you the only pushback I would give you is that you could get the best offensive player and the best defensive player in the draft in Barkley or Bradley Chubb, and you could still get a quarterback at four. And like that, because I think that, and don't forget, like, here's what I keep telling them. They also have Tyrod Taylor, who's a pretty good quarterback. Like, he's not elite, but I think if you put Tyrod Taylor in a system where you got Saquon Barkley in the backfield with a defense that could be dominant getting after the passer, that might be enough to get you to the playoffs. Now, long term, is it your answer? Probably not, but you don't know. Like, when, like we saw Case Keenum make a deep run in the playoffs. We saw Blake Bortles make a deep run in the playoffs. We've seen guys who aren't elite and, you know, with good teams around them have a lot of success. That would be like if I was a playing contrarian saying, hey, they don't have to take quarterback number one overall. Like, that's the argument I would give you.
Yeah, I like that. I would say kind of my two arguments or pushbacks on that are, we're still sitting here today, a year removed from those guys, or 4 or 5 months removed from Blake Bortles and Case Keenum kind of making playoff pushes, and there's still question marks next to their names, you know? So if you're Cleveland, do you want to be in that same position again next year? And then, you know, I love running backs. I do. I don't like defensive ends, but I love running backs. But I know this, AP was the most dominant back in the NFL for the last 10 years, by far the most dominant back. It got Minnesota 5 playoff games. And 2 of those were with Brett Favre. So running backs are impactful, and they really help your football team, but they don't change organizations. And Cleveland just needs to be changed. They don't need to be a little bit better. They need to be changed. So that's kind of what my thinking behind it is as well.
All right, like it, love it, or hate it, the Patriots reported interest in Lamar Jackson.
I hate it.
Really?
I hate it. Well, I look at it like this. They brought Josh McDaniels back from Indianapolis, and they didn't do it without giving him some pretty good understanding of what his future's got to be there. I mean, it's not like, hey, Josh, we're going to bring you back for another year to be ROC. I would imagine that they've had some conversations about him being the long-term answer at head coach there. And he's one of your greatest strengths. He's probably one of the best three minds in football. Lamar Jackson would be the opposite of what Josh McDaniels has done and been so well at of over a decade in the NFL. So why would you take one of your greatest organizational strengths in Josh McDaniels and then make him change everything that he does to fit the player? You find a player that is relatively similar and can run a lot of the stuff that you've run over a decade, because that's what Josh McDaniels' strength is. And it's such a weapon. So that's why I don't see it. It's not about Lamar Jackson. Although, I will say this, the Patriots have always been kind of their own trailblazers, and they've been a little bit ahead of the game in the past, but I do hate it just because I think you take away Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I would tend to agree too. And I don't picture Lamar Jackson being a quarterback in the NFL with a similar skill set as Tom Brady, which shouldn't be a knock to him, because I don't see him sitting there pinpoint precision passing, you know, throughout an entire season. I would see a team that could utilize him and change their offense a little bit to try to use his skill set. That's the way he's going to have a success there. All right, Josh Allen won't be a game changer in the NFL. Like it, love it, or hate it?
Yeah, I love it. I'm such a believer in kind of my experiences of being around some guys and just watching the NFL for a bunch of years, that there's a difference between playing quarterback and being the thrower. And a lot of the throwers will have some flash of the pan here and there, or maybe be good, but they're not going to be game changers. They're not going to be franchise changers. And to be a franchise changer, you got to play quarterback. And to play quarterback, it's got to be from the neck up. So for those reasons, I don't see it transferring over. Well, he's never dominated at the college level. Why would I think he's going to at the NFL level?
I'm with you. I think people forget it gets harder at the next level, not easier. Like all of a sudden he's going to solve his problems, because he has a better coach or something. It's just not going to happen. With all these quarterbacks, I think the only way I could – like I want to wait and see where they go, because I think more so than ever it matters with all these quarterbacks, the system they're in, the surrounding talent. Like whoever goes to the Jets, I think is going to be in trouble. Like it doesn't, and if that includes Darnold, who I'm with you. Like I like him, or if it's big, like I think it has to have the most stable conditions around him. So I think it's really dependent on these guys, which is the way it is for most quarterbacks. There aren't many out there that can just go in and change a franchise. So I think it kind of remains to be seen. All right, let's do another game we got for you. All right, you ready for this one? This is our picks and props segment. All right, so you have to give us our over unders on these. All right, so Roger Goodell. The number of daps or hugs that he gets, we set it at 8.5 versus Roger Goodell handshakes in the first round. Which side are you taking?
Oh, I'm going to go, I'll take the over. So the over is 8.5 on hugs?
Yes.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, the hugs lately have become a thing. I think it's going to be way over. I think that's an easy one.
You guys are both wrong.
Oh, yeah. You're going to
I think we're having shakes. Eight in the first top 10.
Exactly. I would say so, too. Although Goodell's image has been crushed lately, so maybe they go hard.
I'd hug the hell. Listen, dude, if I was a top 10 pick, I'm hugging everybody on the stage.
I want some player to come out and just kind of like, I don't want – not embarrass Goodell, but do something just super stupid in front of him to see how he reacts to it.
He's a robot. He wouldn't do anything.
All right, I got another one for you. Years Tom Brady plays versus trades in the top 10 on Thursday.
Oh, I'll pick trades in the top 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of trades, too. And I don't know. Brady's got a year, maybe two left, so I like that.
I hope it's just one.
All right. I think there's going to be I think there'll be plenty of trades because of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, number of players that Mitt Romney knows on the Utah Jazz roster versus Bradley Chubb's draft position.
That's a great one. I'm going to say Bradley Chubb's draft position. I don't even know if Mitt Romney can legit name a single player.
I am fully on board with that.
He can name Donovan Mitchell, and he'll probably say Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, how about the number of quarterbacks drafted in the first round versus mistakes that Zaza the Parrot makes delivering the Bucks selections?
I didn't know that was a parrot's name.
There actually is a parrot that's going to do it.
I'll go with quarterbacks in the first round.
Yeah.
That's an easy one for me.
It's going to be way more than that because they're going to have some mistakes, right?
All right, and last one for you.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Last one for you. Number of Instagram posts that Kevin Durant accidentally likes a day versus wide receivers taken in the first round.
I'm going to go, now that Golden State has finished off that series, he's going to have some idle time, I imagine, with the day off. So I'll go Durant liking posts just because he'll be sitting there, idle time, nothing to do, moved on from the Spurs. I'm going to accidentally hit the heart button too many times.
But it might be his burner account, so we might not even know about it. All right, good stuff, man. Hey, we appreciate the time. Make sure you go follow him at Dan Orlovsky 7. You can also check out his article at The Athletic that talks about his draft day experience. Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Nah, appreciate you guys having me. That was fun. Anytime.
All right, so the NFL draft is here. It's upon us. Tomorrow night kicks off CBS Sports HQ. 7 to midnight. Not real happy about that. I'll be on the set. And
Roger,
followed
what are you
up.
Doing during 7 to midnight?
7 to midnight?
Yeah.
Sleeping. I'm out.
So we're going to do that. But it's going to be all over like every network. Like,
yeah.
Basically,
I'll watch
you're
for
gonna
a while.
Be it's going to be oversaturation of draft coverage, which is a good thing. So Debo came up with a drinking game idea, which is if you're sitting there
the
watching the draft, if you're having a couple, I don't.
Honestly,
I wish
participate.
I could. Yeah, that could be the best draft coverage ever. So I'm like, this guy's gonna be a bust.
No, you should definitely participate.
It would be good. So Debo came up, asked our followers at Off the Bench at Kennell and Bell on Twitter for some suggestions of names that you would hear. So which ones do you think you would be the drunkest if you heard some of these? So dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd have that. Yeah. Upside.
For sure.
Upside all day long. Yeah. Physical specimen.
Yeah.
Yes. A ball hawk.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be doing a lot of shots there. A high motor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Then it should be that might be the most high motor is yeah.
And then if it was about a white guy, you'd have to do double the shots.
If he had a high motor.
Yeah. A bridge quarterback. That's a rare one that I think you would actually get. Like, that should be, like, the secret one that's in there.
That should be a secret one.
I could see Buffalo trading up right here to get their guy.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Happened a couple times.
Yes. That's going to happen early, though, so you might not have to do it that much. Green room as the players in there. Like, I think you can see Josh Rosen sitting in the green room.
Don't
a lot of green room references as he's driving.
Why go?
Wait, best?
Because it's like your experience. You could go. It'd be pretty sweet.
You'd have to guarantee me.
Top five.
You'd have to guarantee
me. Yeah.
There's no way that you're going to watch. You're not going to watch my emotional roller coaster as I slip down to 25.
What if you're a dude? Who was it last year? There was a player last year who knew he wasn't going to get drafted in the first round, and he like went anyway and was like hanging out, did the red carpet.
Yeah,
I forget who it was, and he was like, "I'm just going to enjoy the experience."
That's a different story.
You know, like if you know it.
Yeah, because there are guys in the NBA draft all the time that like they come
sit in the stands.
Yeah, they sit in the stands, like European guys just waiting to hear their name called. I'm with that, but I'm not going to be like a top 10 prospect with no guarantee and slide into
30. How
about
30. Day one starter?
Oh, that's a good one. Wait, I don't see... I feel like one of the most common words is mom.
Ooh.
No, seriously, mom.
Yeah,
like,
they get the hug. Yeah. There's a shout out. Love seeing mom. She's crying.
Maybe not so much on Thursday, but like definitely Friday, Saturday. All those stories come in. These guys buy their mom's cars. Like, that's the best one.
All right, so Raja, you said you wouldn't go to the draft. Would you do a big party?
A big party? If I was a top 10 guy?
What if you were just like a top three rounds guy? And like, let's just say, like,
when do you have the party?
No, I'm not.
That's what I think is a good question, because like, I've seen parties where the guy's waiting doesn't get drafted.
Yeah. Right.
That sucks.
Yeah. And then you're just like hungover and have to deal with it.
I would party after selection. Like, right? Like, get drafted. I do my family for the draft, like, smaller thing, family for the draft at the house, maybe really close friends. But then once drafted, like, the next day, we'll throw a party.
Oh, that's
party.
True.
Yeah.
The next
you know
day
I mean?
After.
Yeah,
draft.
Or like a week after. Like, have a draft.
That's
like,
true.
You're celebrating there.
Danny, do you remember quarterbacks taken ahead of you?
Yeah, for sure. Tony Banks was the first one off the board.
Tony Banks?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
There was a thing that I think USA Today put together a list of the worst quarterback classes in history. And it's funny because two of them work here. Brady Quinn, his class was listed as one of the worst. Mine was too. Tony Banks was the only guy taken in the
first.
Where
was
he
from?
He might have been the second round.
Michigan State.
That was the highest quarterback taken was in the second round. That's how bad the class was.
Right.
Then it was Bobby Hoying. And he wasn't even the second. He was the third.
Shout
he was
out.
Taken right before me. And then what's my man's name?
Jeff.
Green.
We got Jeff
from
Lewis.
From Northern Arizona. Jeff Lewis. Yeah.
Who actually
is no longer with us. It's kind of
like,
sad. He's not alive anymore. Sorry, yeah.
Forgive
which
me.
Which is kind of sad. Yeah. But
and then Danny Cannell, number.
Bam. Pick 131?
No. 130.
Oh, 130.
Daniel Cannell.
Short change of myself.
Don't do that, bro.
My experience was miserable. Like Orlovsky was talking to us about. Yeah. So I went to play golf in the morning.
Yep.
And I was like, I'll come back. And the draft started at noon. And I got back at like 1 or 2. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, maybe there's a long shot. Somebody really liked me.
And got picked in the first round.
Like, get back. I'm like, anybody call? Nope.
Yeah.
And then so it was the first three rounds. And I sat there and watched every time there was a team that
I had
talked to.
What'd you do? You really just sat there?
Yeah.
With like who?
My dad, like my sister, like
did
my
you,
mom.
I
they were kind of coming
eating
and going.
So much food, like anxiety eating.
It's too long of a draft.
And it started at 12 and it didn't get over to like 7 or 8 at night. So it was like 7
waiting.
Or 8 hours waiting.
Nope.
And then didn't go and had to wait all night long to the next one. So it sucked. And the thing was, every team that you had met with, because like the Dolphins had brought me down for a meeting, I'd flown around.
They're all liars, bro.
Absolutely,
they're all liars.
But the Giants, who actually ended up picking, I didn't have one talk with them, didn't have any inkling I was going to go there. I was like, what?
The Dolphins
Giants?
Are
dude,
liars.
No, listen, for the casual fan out there, everybody in these front off, they lie. That's all they lie. Like, their job is to make sure you feel like you're indispensable to them. They're on the phone the very next second trying to trade you. Like, it's business, bro. It's all lies.
Do you remember the Atlanta Hawks selected ahead of you?
We had Jason Terry, Dion Glover, Cal Bowdler, Roberto Bergeson, and there may have been one more, but those are the ones that stick out. And I got to go to camp with all of them except Roberto Bergeson. I played against Roberto in the CBA. He's a good dude.
Broke his nose? What'd you do?
Yeah, I caught him with an elbow, not on purpose, but he split his face open on the floor after I hit him because he passed out.
And his face open?
Yeah, like he split like his forehead down through his eye. Like, I don't remember exactly where it was, but goodness. I felt awful. But I took my draft position, Doug.
Did you know we had some people that were very upset about the Usher story?
Really?
That we were encouraging child violence?
I wasn't encouraging it. I want to make that clear.
This is Twitter.
But like,
this is Twitter. Don't worry about it. Don't even let it get to you.
Your guy, Jermaine Jones.
Jermaine Jones was picked by the Hawks?
Yeah. I guess he didn't start
with them.
He must
have been traded. Yeah. No, maybe he went to. Am I crazy? Did Jermaine? He might have got traded. Yeah. But I didn't have to wait there 7 hours. Mine was like a 3-hour thing. So it was pretty. It was like ripping off a band aid.
Let's finish it up with some topics. Debo, what do you got for us?
Topics.
So this is something I think Hannah's probably really talented at. I might have some experience with it.
Where is this going?
It's stalking in a nice way. When you go on someone's Instagram, you see if someone's still dating, and you check if they still have pictures with said person. If it's gone, you know something's up. That's what's happening right now with Julio Jones and the Falcons. Is he still dating the Falcons? He deleted every picture he had on his Instagram involving the Falcons. What's it mean?
He doesn't follow anyone anymore. Did he follow people before? Because I noticed he's following like, literally zero people now.
Because
too.
This was his defense, is that his team, his people, said he's hitting a refresh on his social media. Like he's reinventing himself.
Well, but only deleted
the Falcons. Yeah, he didn't delete the whole account.
He has 17 posts currently. The most recent one, catching a fish.
He made his Twitter private.
What kind of fish?
And then after all this talk, he made it public again.
Yellowfin.
Interesting. Like, it's just weird. Like, why do guys do this? I don't know.
I mean, is he...
I love this two conversations.
Is he hinting at something? Wait, what kind of fish?
Where's the yellow
fish? Well, there was a lot of speculation, and Falcons fans were freaking out, thinking, oh my gosh, is he going to hold out? Or is he, because he got paid, but he shouldn't. And then there were some trade rumors, like, is he upset about that? So I think it's probably nothing. So this is hypersensitive media saying, and fans saying, oh my gosh, what did he do? When it probably is. Maybe he just decided to have a personal account, and he doesn't want to have football pictures on his personal account.
No, then he would make a separate personal account.
Maybe he's having one made. Like maybe he's paying somebody to do that.
I feel like Debo, you're onto something when you said the breakup thing.
Right.
It's like
they didn't grow up in the Instagram age.
You might be though. Seriously, you're gonna delete all the pictures of a significant other on your Instagram. It's over. It's a wrap.
Except sometimes.
So
you guys are missing the point though. This man is catching yellow fins. Where is that happening? I need to know where the tuna are right now.
Let me see if he tagged it.
Why? Do you go delete
hashtag
the pictures?
Jet life.
Well, no, I feel like everybody you have knows to keep you dated. It. Yeah, no. My rule is if you post it, you keep it forever.
Right.
Like, you just have to. Because...
Right. Then you look bitter and like a loser if you tell, like, oh my gosh.
And then,
gosh,
like, when you
feelings.
Unfollow the person, oh my God, I used to stalk the crap out of these people.
That's
why they were still
dating. Do they have mute on Instagram now? Because that would be killer.
I don't think so.
Mute. Yeah, they need to have a mute.
You mean a
no,
mute?
Just unfollow.
You unfollow or block a follower, right?
Well, yeah, but you can. They don't know you unfollow.
Just hit him with like that Victor Oladipo and unfollow.
That's right.
I had to bring it up again.
That's my favorite
All right, that's
song.
A story that's developing. This is a story that developed yesterday. College football fans almost had the Toledo Shreks. Kinda. The university tweeted out yesterday, if this tweet gets 500,000 retweets, we'll change our mascot to Shrek.
What?
Well,
and it started happening.
It would have gotten there. But they deleted it, said it was a hoax, said it caused a distraction. Almost had
track. Somebody, some kid, who's a student, is freaking out, like, oh my gosh.
What'd I do?
He probably went through, like, it probably started to go up the chain, and somebody called him and said, we gotta get rid of this. We can't have this happen. It's fantastic. Like, it was the best. It's the most they've been talked about in probably 10 years.
Okay, so it wasn't like a verified from their
that's what I'm saying is like some kid was running their account.
Oh no, yeah, you got it. No, then that's a contract. I think they should have to change their name to Shrek.
It's legally binding now.
Like you need a promise.
There's like some Shrek fans now.
It's like a pinky swear.
See, I think you should have embraced it because it was really fun the way it was going, and maybe have a game where you're the Shreks or something where you create, like, you make a jersey.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's what
roll
I'm saying.
With it. Yes. It's
like a minor league baseball thing.
Yeah. I want some people to roll with
when
it.
When you get the attention, you got to take it.
No, but that assures you that next year, when the time comes, like, you're back on every,
major platform.
Correct.
You're going to be out there.
Correct.
All right. This a fun one. In a new trend, athlete visits military base, gets attacked by military dog. This time... It's our coworker, Rip Hamilton,
Brett, what's wrong with you, bro?
Yo, he held his own.
No, he stayed up.
Stayed upright.
I would have been screaming bloody murder.
Hell no.
Even if you're wearing all that junk?
No. Well, what good could come from it?
Video on our Twitter page, at Canell and Bell.
TMZ.
What good?
You can be on TMZ.
Yeah, I'm cool.
you good with that?
No, seriously. Like, I ask my boys this sometimes.
I feel like what it was like to get attacked by a dog, and like that's the same thing as like jumping in the those ocean with the sharks. Like you're in a cage, you're protected.
What good can come from it? If you can tell me one good thing,
it's a conversation piece.
At least he stayed up. Max Holloway went down right away.
So did Mark Ingram a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really? So Rip looked good.
What's that conversation go like when one of those pieces of equipment slips off? what's that go like? Hey, Rip, Jesus, man,
right.
This has never happened before.
It's not going to slip off. He's suited up. I don't know anything. I'm literally running.
You know what I'll do? I'll cheer for one of you guys when it happens.
I would do it for some money.
Yeah.
Rip having
not
fun.
For free.
Hey, look, I could take you guys. There are plenty of kennels and dog breeders around here. We can get this cracking, right?
Doing it
we
can
go right.
Kennel out there. I would do it for money.
I could take you guys right down in the city. We were in Overtown at a tournament today.
Yeah, I bet.
We could figure it out.
Yeah.
Speaking of animal athlete attacks, a goose.
No.
He was super effective in taking down a high school golfer in Michigan. The pics are crazy. Again, check those out on our Twitter page. You guys have any?
Did you guys see this?
No. It really was mad?
No.
Was really
I'm
going
not
at
kidding.
Him?
So this was a high school kid. He was at it was a golf tournament. For his high school was called Blissfield High. And this was anything but blissful. This poor guy is he's just enjoying his Sunday, and then he gets completely killed by this Canadian goose. Now, have
what
you guys ever been face to face with a Canadian goose?
Look at him. Yeah,
I used to live around some of them. You don't mess with them.
Yes, they live
in
like
in full mama. Flight.
They
That's
live
definitely
in North
a mom,
Florida.
Too.
The guy, not the bird. The guy's a straight.
No, they're mean. Even so I used to I went to University of North Florida for a year in Jacksonville, and those things were like squirrels on campus. They were freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was one time I dropped a book near one, and this thing thought I was about to attack it, starts waddling towards me, then goes in the air. I literally was sprinting for my life. Those things are not to be messed with.
Have you ever hit a bird with a golf ball?
No.
No?
Have you?
Bro. Oh. Miami Shores Country Club, I don't know, 3-wood maybe, but kind of caught it thin, so it was a line drive burner, and that damn duck just caught flight at the wrong time. It cracked him right under his ribs there. I felt awful.
That's so sad.
Because my drive was only 150 yards. I care less about the bird. Joking. I'm joking. Yeah, no, I accidentally hit the bird. It
Do
just
you
came
remember when it was Dave Winfield threw a ball in the outfield and hit a bird? This was a long time ago.
That bird exploded.
Yes. Oh,
well, Randy Johnson did it too off the mound.
Yeah.
That bird exploded.
No, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, that one exploded.
Final topic of the day, Derek Fisher and Gloria Govan now engaged. The question is, how far is Matt Barnes driving today?
Did you see, though, that this apparently had a happy ending? They're all on the same page.
Yeah.
I saw it on
TMZ Sports
this morning.
I don't want to talk about that part.
Maddie B's cool with it.
Apparently.
Him and Derek are cool now. They talk every week.
All right, so that's a love story now. Look, I think it's different if you it's all weird, but if you guys wind up married and you're in love, that's one thing. If you're just smashing an ex-teammate's wife, that's a different situation.
It's about the kids. You got to do it for the kids.
For sure.
It sounds like really good PR. I don't know anything about this, but it sounds like someone's
we
lying someone.
Get you up to speed. You would like the story.
I really do have to get up to speed.
You don't know the story?
You guys, I found this.
Wait.
Oh. Never mind.
No, go. Please.
Fill her in real quick.
Yeah, you want to fill me in?
So Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher, ex-teammates. Mm-hmm. And so Matt Barnes, what was this, maybe 5 years ago or something like that?
Not even.
Comes
two,
hears that Derek Fisher is at his home with his ex-wife, and they're having a romantic evening.
Shut
and so, yeah, Matt Barnes drives from where? Sacramento.
Miles.
Yeah, he drives down from Sacramento to L.A. to whoop Derek Fisher's ass.
Ooh, good.
Right.
Good.
But, this is one of those unwritten rules in
also,
a locker room.
Isn't that her fault, too?
It definitely, we mean, is
but
it? Of course it is.
Why is he going just to
because
you
can't whoop
him.
Her ass.
Exactly.
Somebody's ass got to get whooped.
That's a good point. No, that's annoying. Yeah, that's a really good PR move. I found this Instagram account called Hollywood Blinds. If you guys ever want to entertain yourself with all of the scandals that are going on in Hollywood,
It comes back to Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, I'm not kidding. Last night I was in the wee hours looking at this.
It's all about the gram. All right, we're going to have to check that out. Hey, if you don't follow that one, make sure you do follow Canell and Bell on Twitter and Instagram both. Make sure you go check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, download. In the review, leave us a 5-star review. Ask us a question. We'll get to those on our 5-star Q&As on Friday. Thanks for checking us out. Everybody have a great day.